Hi, this is Lance Edwards, and I'm here today with Mr. Scott Kodak, one of our newest Circle of Champion members. Welcome, Scott. Great to have you here today.
Thank you, Lance. I appreciate it.
And Scott has just done his first apartment deal. He's flipped an apartment, made $11,000. We're here to talk to him about it today. So to begin, Scott, a little bit, could you share with people watching, what is your, before you got involved with apartments, what was your previous real estate experience?
Had flipped a few homes, made some money. I have a couple buy and hold that I rent out. But overall, found it a little bit frustrating. And what attracted to me to multifamily was the fact that you're dealing with more units at one address. And I've learned a good bit thus far in a very short time of dealing with you, Lance, and taking your courses.
Okay, great. Super. Thank you. Thank you, Scott. And now let's talk a little bit about your deal. You found the deal. First of all, how many units was this deal? Explain the deal, the size, and what it was about.
The deal's it was a hybrid to a degree. 18 units, two of them commercial, out on a busy road outside of Fort Hood and Copperas Cove on 190. The two commercial, one was I call him the Snake Man, and he also owned birds in the smaller commercial building next door. And then he had six, out back there were 16 apartments, six two-bedroom, one-bath, and then 10 one-bedroom, one-bath. So 18 units in all, 16 apartment units, and two commercial units.
How did you find this deal?
Believe it or not, by taking your courses and being on every Monday night's call, or most Monday nights, I walked into a bank that I have a safe deposit box in, some small accounts for my daughter and son. And I just walked in and spoke to the bank manager and asked if they had any real estate owned in their inventory, multifamily in particular, and they did. So I started negotiating with the bank shortly thereafter.
All right, for people that are, you know, just the situation you were in just recently, doing their first deal, was that a little unnerving, starting to negotiate a first deal? What was that process like for you?
To some degree, but what I realized was I was helping someone solve a problem. The bank didn't want to own it. They don't want to own real estate. They want to own performing mortgages and notes. And in the case of the gentleman who is the realtor on the property, I know he wanted to sell it. So at the end of the day, I just saw it as a problem solver. There were times when I was frantic a little bit, but with the help of the group and the mentoring, I worked through it and it worked out quite well.
Excellent. So you're making your first offer. How much did you actually get the property under contract for?
At the very end, it was at $175,000.
$175,000?
Yes.
Was it always your strategy to wholesale it, flip it, or were you ever considering buying and holding it, the snake shop? Or the?
Initially, I was thinking of buying and holding, but then what I realized was I was claiming on our calls, oh, this is a C property. I had visited the property already a few times after classifying it as a C. I felt very safe there one evening. I was there at 6:37. But then I realized that that market I didn't know maybe as well as I do Austin. And at the end of the day, I would classify it as a D+, C-. And I changed from maybe wanting to be the owner or buy and holder and decided to assign it.
All right, so you've got this C-, D+, 16-unit apartment with a snake store.
Snake Man.
A Snake Man store and a bird store.
Yes.
Next door. You want to wholesale it. How in the world do you find a buyer for this kind of property?
Well, admittedly, there is a process to doing multifamily and wholesaling. And being the first time, I did stumble, and I knew there would be some challenges. One thing I wasn't as aggressive at was marketing. So what I did was I started to look on LoopNet at comparable sales, and what I figured was that someone who had bought recently multifamily, maybe in the 20-unit, 10-unit, 30-unit, in the same market, would possibly be game to buy another one. And that's the way I worked it. I kind of backtracked it and tried to specifically get to a recent buyer and see if they wanted to add more units to their portfolio.
Smart, very smart, excellent. All right, so now you're out canvassing, finding a buyer. Once you've found some prospective buyers, talk about the process of finding a buyer and negotiating with them.
Well, in short, I felt like I wasn't aggressive enough with marketing. I was so nerved up with my first deal, with tying up a lot of loose ends, that I forgot the market. And you always should be putting out your feelers and finding out who would be interested and purchasing, I hadn't done really any of that. And I felt that I let myself down, and maybe the deal would fall through. So one day I got real frustrated about noon at work. I worked for myself. I just dropped everything, and I got on LoopNet, and I paid for the comparable sales-related information. So I found another Cochrane Cove property. In short, I deduced off the tax records on Coryell County and found someone, like just a couple address numbers from this comp I had found, and said, wow, they're, you know. In short, I get on the phone by looking up on yellow or white pages, anywho.com, which is AT&T sponsored, and I got a gentleman named Elmer Cox on the phone who had bought a bunch of multifamily in the Fort Hood area back during the 80s from the RTC and all that. And he was more than helpful. He got online at his house in Harker Heights. I've never met this man. And in short, we finally figured out the guy who had bought the apartment building next to where his properties were. He, by the way, was not interested in adding to his portfolio, but I think he might be divesting in the next couple of years. So I'm hoping to go back to that relationship and maybe tie up those properties.
He could be a source of deal flow for you.
Yes, exactly.
So now he's helping you find, kind of find, help you research and find a buyer for you.
Coincidentally, oddly enough. Yeah.
So, all right, so you now, you're talking to a buyer. What was the negotiation like? How did you determine your sales price to sell your contract with your buyer? How did that go?
Admittedly, this is when I figured out that it wasn't as much of a C property as I had thought. It was more of a C minus, D plus. And, you know, I adjusted my expectations. I at one time thought I could get maybe as high as 20, 25 for it. But I did get to the gentleman who had bought a property in Cochrane Cove just 6 months prior. I initially spoke to the note holder on it, and they were out of Lampasas. In short, in chatting with him and going through some numbers and then looking at the property, there was a good bit of damage and rehab, probably more than I understood the scope of. I got pragmatic because, as you said, just get your first deal done. Mm-hmm. Right. Don't be too greedy. Right. Just get it done. And, you know, it came down to where we were actually going back and forth between a number, and I had gotten another $2,500 off the purchase price. That brought it down to $175,000. And I said, well, I'd like to get that on my assignment. And he said, oh, I don't feel I can give you that much. So I said, you know what, Justin, let's just follow through and close this. Let's just split that difference. So, you know, it was fun to negotiate. He was practical. I mean, you'll find that people in business, whether they're frustrated by a bad property or excited to buy a property, they all want to work at the end of the day to rid a headache or build on their portfolio of existing property.
So $11,000 on $175,000, I do my math, it's around 6% or so.
Yeah, it's probably a shade over that.
Maybe a shade over 6% fee. Mm-hmm. All right, excellent. So, by the way, how much money did you have in this deal?
I put up $2,500, and that $11,250 I received was net of the $2,500. So, in effect, I got $13,750 in an assignment fee, but $2,500 of it was my earnest money.
Gotcha. So that could be $13,750.
$750, of which $2,500 I personally put up.
For the earnest money.
Exactly.
Okay, so now you've got this first deal done, completed your first deal. I got a couple questions from there, Scott. Mm-hmm. How has that changed your outlook now with regards to your apartment business? What happened once you had that first deal closed? You've worked through these challenges, you got it done. How did your outlook change?
One, I knew that it could be done because other people, when we get on the calls, they were doing them, and many of them are much larger. Mine's kind of a training wheels type deal. Two, that tags onto that, I did it. I finally did one. So when you actually do it and you've gone through the process, and this had a good bit of hair on it, there are a lot of ups and downs.
A good bit of hair of it, that's a Texas.
Yeah, a good bit of hair on it. Anyhow, going forward, I feel that they will be a lot, you know, maybe easy isn't the word, but mentally, the expectation and understanding how to deal with those ups and downs, that will probably be easier. I'm sure that the terms and a lot of the yin and yang and the negotiations will always be to some degree challenging, but I find it fun.
Excellent.
It's rewarding seeing numerous parties, you know, win in a transaction and to get paid to help other people remedy you know, what might be a headache for a bank. They don't want to own the property. They'd rather have a performing note and then have, you know, another person add to their portfolio or initiate a portfolio of buy and hold apartments. I mean, you're helping numerous people in the equation. There's other people you're helping as well, I'm sure, there.
Now, you've got, you know, we've got people watching this video, you know, many of which are considering getting started in apartments, perhaps haven't done their first deal yet. Having gone through this process, from your heart, what's the thing you would share from someone that's considering getting involved with apartments but is hesitating?
The way I look at it is people need help out there. I mean, it might sound funny to say the banks need help. A distressed owner needs help. There might be an owner out there that's having something real rough in their personal life. And this presents an opportunity to help them, whoever the seller may be of the apartment. And then there's loads of money out there that's looking for a good home and a good investment. There's more money than you can imagine out there right now. And you just need to solve that problem. I guess I would just call it like being a matchmaker, quite frankly. You're just taking one person who wants nothing to do with the real estate any longer, the apartment. And there's numerous people out there trying to find a good investment. And you deserve, we deserve to get paid to solve that problem for both parts of the equation. The one who wants to sell and the party that wants to buy.
Well said. Well said. Yeah.
And that's rewarding, knowing you're helping people solve the problem.
That's a great perspective.
And you get paid.
Yeah.
And some of the folks in this mentorship program, I mean, $11,000 is nothing. I mean, it's pretty amazing what some folks are achieving, and that's where I'm going next.
Let's talk a little bit about the mentorship program. You're active on the call. Tell, how important has it been for you to be, you know, in our case, the Monday night calls? How important was that to you in the process? And assuming it was important, which I think the answer is yes, how has that benefited you?
No, it's been great because there's all levels of personalities and achievement on the calls. I don't doubt some of the folks on there have been in multifamily, you know, maybe even a decade or more. On average, though, a lot of them are newbies, and there's all types of folks. There's folks that have been without work, no job, for a few years now, layered out maybe at the age of 50 or 30. And then there's folks like me, I own a job, I have my own company. But to see that there's all types of people, men, women, all different ages, and to see them achieving at different speeds. And the way I look at it is there's a staircase, you know, leading to what your financial freedom is. It's just a matter of how fast you want to go up, you know, the staircase. And I'm excited to go to the next level. I mean, getting that one little deal done it meant the world to me. And a lot of support on the calls. I mean, I know a couple of the fellas are working on, I think, a seven-figure deal, and or six-figure deal anyway, with what the assignment fee will be. And to hear them say congratulations after they've probably done four or five deals in the past year of much larger size than what I did. That's rewarding too, because I know that they understand how hard it is and how refreshing it is to kind of finally get that first one done.
It's huge.
Yeah.
The first one is
it's
huge.
Massive.
Well,
a lot of fun.
Yeah. You can look back at
somewhat
it.
Somewhat addictive.
Yeah. It is. Well, Scott, I just want to congratulate you again. And you did an outstanding job. This deal, as you say, had a little bit of hair on it.
Yeah.
And you managed to shave it down to get it across the closing line, get paid. And
yeah.
So congratulations. And I also want to thank you for sharing, taking the time to share with people here, because this does help people. And if one thing to tell from Scott, he comes from a feeling of wanting to help people. He talks about it constantly, how in the way he approaches his business, how he can help people. And so he's doing this. He told me, and he agreed to do it graciously and willingly, because he wanted to help more people, you know, get involved. And, well,
the reason I wanted to do it was because I know you just want to help more people. And the truth is, there's so much reciprocal behavior within the community, and then all these parties out there. There's loads of banks sitting on property. There's loads of other distressed owners, individuals, partnerships, and there's loads of hedge fund, private equity individuals that want to buy big and small and medium-sized properties. And we just play on that same field with them. We just provide maybe a different role, right, where we bring them together and get paid to do it. And I just think that's awesome. I mean, in this economy, to try to take it to another level and get something accomplished and help people. It's tough out there right now, and it's very rewarding, you know, intimately with our little group and then all the parties that we're working with.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Really.
Thank you, Lance. Appreciate it,
Scott. Thank you.
All right, everyone. So, Circle of Champion member Scott Kodak, man of the hour, closed his first deal. Look for the second one to be coming up soon. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.